again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 261 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew, with you as always. I'm joined by my longtime digital broadcasting partner, Ben, also known as Arcane in the forum.
Hey, everyone.
And Ben, it is just a week away from the release of NBA Live 19 and NBA 2K19, or a little bit longer if you're waiting for the standard edition of 2K19. But after this previous season, which really picked up over the last couple of weeks, we're now in the final stretch.
Yeah, it's crazy how kind of fast it's all snuck up now. So, yeah, it's coming along very, very well.
It's the last stretch of news we have before the game comes out. Of course, we have the demo of Live 19 out, the prelude for NBA 2K19, which we'll be talking about this week, of course, and the trial version of NBA Live 19, which is on Xbox One for EA Access subscribers. We're both on PS4, so we can't tell you what we'll be talking about. We'll be secondhand knowledge from that. But certainly a lot to talk about this week. But there is something we wanted to get to first, and it is rather troubling news. It is something we haven't really covered because, you know, we're a basketball gaming website, so we don't really talk about other games. Well, I can't really say that. We talk about Fallout and Last of Us, don't we, on the podcast?
Yep.
we do mention other titles. We do have other interests, of course, but in terms of our news coverage. But, of course, it is the tragedy that happened last week in Jacksonville, the Madden tournament, where unfortunately, two prominent members of the Madden community, Elijah Clayton and Taylor Robertson, tragically lost their lives after another participant engaged in a shooting, basically. Reasons, I guess, are unimportant at the end of the day. The thing is that two young people lost their lives in yet another shooting, but apparently was eliminated in the tournament and wasn't happy about it. Ben, it was really chilling to see the footage of that and to hear the gunshots ring out, and it's just a terrible situation.
Yeah, you know, it's a sad thing, and you know, a thing that is preventable. Obviously, this would go into further discussion in terms of how, you know, gun laws and stuff like that, and regulation,
which may be beyond the scope of our podcast. So
we'll avoid saying.
We'll avoid getting political. I mean, we may say things on our social media, but certainly for the NLSC, we'll keep it. But you know, it was such a tragedy. It's, you know, we're all gamers at the end of the day, whether it's the virtual hardwood, the gridiron, the pitch, the octagon, diamond, ice, whatever virtual playing field you play on. You know, we love these games. They're an escape. You know that they're doing really great things these days with the games, with these tournaments and everything. So for this to happen, I mean, all these shootings are tragic, of course. You know, we don't mention all of them on the podcast. This one kind of affects our community by proxy because, you know, this is within our realm of sports gaming. But, you know, man, just that was really, really tragic.
Yeah, and it's kind of been twice in a year for the Madden team because last year, the tragic loss of one of the staff members, you know, in a shooting as well. So I imagine this would, you know, hit the staff hard again. You know, it would be just coming up to about that year anniversary of when that happened as well, because it's around this time.
Yeah, when it happened, yeah. So. And it's like I say, gaming is supposed to be this escape and this fun, and you know, we all take it kind of seriously to a certain extent, but it certainly crosses the line when it comes to that. So look, our condolences to everyone affected by the tragedies, including the families, of course, obviously, of Elijah Clayton and Taylor Robertson. May you rest in peace. EA have donated $1 million to the support of the needs of the victims and the families. There's a GoFundMe set up. You can look up all this information. I might put some links in the show notes as well. But if there is one positive, it is that the community is rallying behind the situation. It shows that this kind of thing, it is the outliers, it is these lone bad apples, that gamers are a good group of people that do care about each other. And I know it's postponed some of those festivities with Madden and future tournaments that they're working out at the moment, but hopefully moving forward, you know, this will be, you know, as much as it can be put in the past, and that we can Madden and Live and 2K and everyone else that holds these great events for video games, you know, that we can avoid such tragedies in the future. And you know, once again, rest in peace to the victims, and we're very sorry to the families.
Yeah, exactly. Our condolences.
So with that being said, we will get on to the basketball gaming news now. It is a week, basically, less than a week to the release of the games. The 7th, basically, for early 12th of 2K19 and Live 19. It's, and like you say, Ben, it's really snuck up on us.
Yeah, yeah. I guess too, like with the way that the teams have really kept a lot of their game mode used so close to their chest this year. We still don't know everything about the games yet, which is surprising given how close they are to release, like 5 days. Four, I guess, probably by the time this goes up. So
it really does speak to how the previous seasons have changed over the years that we don't get all the news. And certainly, for example, the EA Access trial for NBA Live 19 has given us some information via the community, which we'll talk about. And, you know, like I said, I wanted to set up a Q&A, and I'd been reaching out and had been in discussions. It all has to go through PR and everything, and it may look like that, unfortunately, isn't going to happen. But, EA hasn't really done as many Q&As with community sites this year. Some with YouTubers, but not as much. So I think it's a bit of a change in direction for them. But we hopefully we'll still be able to work with them in the future.
Yeah, I'm confident we'll help. I mean, we have built a good rapport with that team and that. So sure. He's hoping, that we get to. I mean, they've gone through a change in community manager. So, you know, we've gone... having to get to know him and stuff like that.
Rapport again, absolutely.
So that's
we're still relevant, I guess, which I like to think we are, but nevertheless.
Yeah. I mean, we've heard like Connor Dugan and even Ryan Sanders sort of, you know, potentially mentioned in the PC versions and stuff like that, and the mods, even using the words mods. So, you know, they definitely know that sites like us and communities like us exist, and you know that they'd be interested to see. And again, from you know a lot of the talks that we've both had and over the years with the developers and that,
in person in a couple of occasions. So
yeah,
with service. So certainly we'll see what we can do as far as bringing any kind of exclusive original content. We will have original content of our own creation either way when it comes to NBA Live and NBA 2K, but. Any kind of talks we can have with the developers, Q&A, we'll certainly see if we can set it up, get further insight, and naturally send along the wishlist items. But for the moment, we are just covering the news as it comes through the media outlets and the community, of course. And there's a little bit of a snippet that I saw on the official website, Ben, as I was combing through the news, and I posted it on the main page because I hadn't really seen it talked about anywhere. But it's basically this new note about some Ultimate Team info. And I know that's not really your bag, but it's basically that they're introducing... pack probability this year, which is, well, I mean, obviously there's always been pack odds, but basically it's going to be a display that shows the different pack odds and the likelihood of drawing certain cards from the packs, which I think is a great move.
Yeah, again, as to that layer of transparency, and you know, I guess you know, with recent recent events with like countries, you know, sort of banning or trying to minimize the gambling elements in the games, and that, you know, this way. It's giving you the chance to understand what the likelihood is, so you know, determine whether you do want to invest, you know, I guess potential real currency or in-game currency and stuff like that, depending, you know, the reward systems, because yeah, like obviously with live you get the couple of different currency formats which you know you can put towards skills or cosmetic stuff, so things like that I imagine are in a similar type thing in the Live Ultimate Team where you can actually earn or spend the points that you earn.
Yeah, you've got coins, which are basically much like your MT, your My Team points in NBA 2K, and that's the currency that's exclusive to Ultimate Team. You've also got the other exclusive currency to Ultimate Team, which is NBA points, and that is basically you buy NBA points much like you'd buy VC, so that you can spend the money to get that and fast track to a pack, and it's a bit cheaper that way. I've also heard from a couple of people through the EA Access trial that the packs are a little bit cheaper this year, so between that and the transparency of showing the pack odds, which are basically broken down into your the certainty of getting a player of a certain level or items of a certain level, and there will be packs that have got like 100%, you know, you will definitely get that item. So yep. They're going to be transparent about that. And they've also divided players up into overall bans or OVR bans, which it's still going to be tougher to draw the higher tier players. Naturally, it's just like getting an insert card of the old trading card packs. You know, there it's a lower odds. But I think it's great. I think it's a much more transparent way of doing it, as you said. and pretty much necessary the way a lot of people, as you said, are coming down on the on this kind of mode as a form of gambling. So I think it's, you know, when they when you go to like the pokies or something, you know, they do actually have, you know, probability of winning on those. So I think it's important to do it in a game like this as well.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely makes a lot of sense to do it, especially in today's day and age, and given a lot of criticisms that, you know, that a lot of these games are more becoming, I guess, the term pachinko machines, I guess, this is what they use instead of an actual... So I think this bodes well and you know, hopefully minimizes that gambling sort of minimum... standard for a little bit, you know, in terms of that the user will definitely know that the odds of the probability are in their favors that they are. So, yeah, I think a better step forward in that direction.
It is. I mean, the whole loot box situation, and you look at the loot boxes in Live, which are cosmetic items, but even they have the probability and the odds of getting each item in them. So, I mean, it's not keeping people informed.
Yeah, and, you know, with those ones, you know, you get to see the items that you can win. And so, you know, if there was any items that weren't in your particular liking or interest and stuff like that, you didn't have to play in that mode or play on that live event in that case. So I think if there's a similar type thing there, you know, it's like, well, nothing in this one might interest me, so therefore... You know, you don't need to put your time into it and stuff like that, or potentially money into it. So I think, again, you know, that again is another good thing in terms of, again, that open transparency factor and seeing what you potentially get.
And, you know, comparing it again to real card packs, which is the obvious comparison here, you know, I've actually got some packs of basketball cards from the 90s unopened that I got off eBay. You can might be able to hear me filling around with it. Sounds like a candy wrapper, I know. It is actually a pack of trading cards. And I'm just looking on the back here because I wondered, you know, do they have the odds on there? And they actually do. I forgot because you know, it's been a while since I opened them, and I've been, you know, saving them aside for a rainy day to have some fun and open them, basically. But on there it says, you know, that you've got the cards, the numbered 1 to 200, randomly inserted into these, especially marked packs, NBA Super Action Stick'ems, 1 in 4, you know, 1 to 4 chance, Upper Deck Minis, 1 to 1, Meet the Stars, 1 to 3, Gold Upper Deck. So it actually has the odds of the inserts on the back as well. So back in the day, we were actually getting, yeah, I mean, I just always tore open the packs and hope for the best, but you look at the back, and they do actually have the odds printed on the back. So this is very much going back to the trading cards back in the day actually had that. So I think a great move for Ultimate Team. And, you know, the other thing they've done is they've removed contracts this year as well. So you don't have to keep applying contracts to the players you get for your team, which was always a bit of a hassle, a bit of an outdated concept. I know FIFA did that, I believe, last year or the year before, made that change. 2K hasn't for my team. But I think, again, a great change for Ultimate Team.
Yeah, and also the fact that you mentioned that, you know, the packs are looking to be cheaper than they were last year, that's a good thing as well. So I forgot to sort of stress that as well. So, you know, the tendencies of, you know, for the reputation of EA to be greedy in that, you know, this is a thing that, again, that sort of, in this case, will not debunk, but, you know, shows goodwill and good favor.
I mean, there's different things. They have EA as a company have done things that I certainly disagree with and have yep. not have hurt gamers. You know, we can't deny that.
Yep.
And, you know, and made mistakes with Live as well. You know, we don't love everything about Live. You know, we have our criticism, things we want to see get better. But, you know, credit when it's due. I think this is a great move. It's certainly a move that's very consumer friendly. It from the sounds of things, there's not a lot of changes to Ultimate Team. Apart from that, there's some throwback cards. Which is great. There's some new players. Latrell Sprewell is apparently in there this year.
Nice.
So, and Big Ben Wallace is back. Not the biggest fan of him, but, you know, obviously prominent player from the last decade that people would like to see. Actually, I guess more than a decade now. It's 14 years since that championship with the Pistons. But he was still in the league within the last decade, so I'm kind of right about that.
But, yeah, and, you know, given that the amount that the Bulls spent on his contract...
I mean, in fact, that's why I'm glad there's no contracts this year if I get him. There's certainly no way, no way I'm loading him up with more contracts. He's had enough big contracts in his day, thank you very much. Again, positive moves. Even if I'd like to see some more detail go into that mode, much like my team and other things. You know, we'll talk about more about that in a second with modes. But, yeah, I there is the content is there, and they're making some of these changes, positive changes. So I think they're on the right track, and that's the important thing for life. Is even if everything's not there at the moment, it's on the right track.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So as we said, the trial version is out. People have had up to 10 hours to play the full version on Xbox One if they are EA Access members. They've been posting screenshots. Will OS on Twitter, WTF, what the feral. He's been posting some, he's the master of screenshots on social media, basically, or certainly one of the masters, right up there, sharing some great screenshots of the game, you know, making it look as good as it can. Not bullshotting, but, you know, just taking these great angles and everything, sharing them on Twitter. Game is looking great, and it's nice to see some other players that aren't featured in the demo, being just the two NBA and two WNBA teams in play now, of course. And other people have been sharing some information about the game. I guess the big news for me is that franchise is pretty much the same as last year, including the weekly simulation feature, and there's no player editing. So unfortunately, franchise, I think, is going to be a bit of a letdown this year for people who were wanting that to be a big thing. And I realize it wasn't the focus, but I really think it's going to need more focus moving forward, because a lot of people are expressing interest in it. I know they're trying to go for this new demographic and new direction and everything, but people want that franchise experience because 2K offers such a fantastic one. And I think the more that they ignore modes like that, it's going to really come back alive, and it's really going to stop them from being as great a game as it can be.
Yeah, I agree. I think they really need to start really working more on the modes now. I mean, the one is pretty deep right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think some of the key traditional modes definitely need that work now.
Because you're not going to win people back from 2K if you don't have it.
Yeah.
And you can say, oh, we're going for a new demographic, but that demographic is hooked on 2K right now. So you've got to appeal to them across the board. And I really hope, you know, as much as we can stress to them, and maybe some of them don't want to hear it at EA because this is the direction they're going. But, you know, I think the sales speak for themselves. I think the people in the community that are saying, we want franchise, whereas franchise is disappointing. You know, you've got to listen to that, because you've got to cater. That's the strength of 2K, is that it caters to people who like online, and within online, people who like the Prime experience, walk-on experience, online My Team, the Playground. You know, there's all these different modes. And then you've got franchise, and then you've got My Team, offline and online, my League, My GM, two different types. On top of My Career, which you can do, you know, the online component and just single player. So it really caters to everyone, regardless of the quality and quibbles with those modes. So Live has really got to do it, and I really hope that is the direction moving forward, that they can beef up those modes, because I think it is going to hurt them. I don't think they can just rely on it, because people are going to say, well, we want NBA Live, not NBA Street. So it's something they're really going to have to keep in mind if they want to be successful.
I agree, and I'm really hoping that the addition of the Madrid team does help bring that benefit, now that they can really focus on deepening in the core modes outside of the one and that now. So, you know, they've got the good foundation. They've got
gameplay's getting better.
Yeah,
you know, gameplay's a big step forward this year. You know, this real player motion is coming through for both player movement and the look of the game, and the signature animations that are really starting to expand. I think they just can't neglect the NBA side of things, or it's really going to hurt them. They're never going to be as big a game, and I'm a little disappointed. I've heard that it's okay, that if you keep the expectations fairly low, that it's still a fairly solid experience. So I'll check it out, and hopefully it's going to be fine, and Ultimate Team and everything. Hey, look, court battles sound fun and everything, and, you know, I'll check it out. But the thing is, you know, I'm kind of burned out on career modes, as I've said before. And, you know, if I'm already built grinding up a player if I do end up grinding up a player in 2K19, I probably don't want to play the one as well. I'd want to do something different, like Ultimate Team or Franchise. So, yeah, it is disappointing. I understand why they're doing it and what they're going for, but I think it will be a tremendous mistake if they don't focus on the NBA content moving forward.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think in the short term, this is long term, it'll definitely affect them. I think if Live 20 doesn't have, or 2020, whatever they want to call it, doesn't have
that depth and those modes now, I think they're going to be in a lot of trouble. And again, they'll have to continue clawing back.
Like people are going to say, well, this has been this whole generation and you've still got a very bare bones kind of game, you know, whereas 2K's got this really deep experience across the board. So, you know, and obviously, hey, we've criticized 2K enough. So, you know, we'll call it as we see it both ways, will we not?
Yeah.
Both games. You know.
Yeah. I think, you know, we're both honest and brutal in our opinions. And, you know, if, you know, yes, we've given a little bit of leeway at times with Live because we know they've been in a rebuilding process. But, you know, now that rebuilding process is pretty much done. And now it's like, all right, we need to see.
Now the expectations are here.
Yeah. The fruits of that labor and that now need to really be shown. So,
it is important that it does that. You know, we've talked about it before. I don't want to harp on it too much. Hopefully this game will have enough depth to really hook people in this year, and we'll keep stressing it and I think the reactions of the community will continue to speak for themselves, us along with the rest of the community talking about this. But that being said, a lot of people are saying very positive things about the some of the improvements to Ultimate Team, that they're enjoying the one, etc. The gameplay, you know, being such an important part, especially with the struggles to rebuild that since the comeback of NBA Live 14. You know, it just seems to be on the right track in so many respects that if it can take that next step in future years, great. But this year, you know, aside from the disappointment with franchise and maybe a little bit Ultimate Team as well, that it isn't as deep as my team. That said, it's shaping up to be a strong year for Live that can really start winning back the crowd. But to keep winning back the crowd, it's going to have to keep innovating like it used to. Because there was a time that Live was really innovating back in the day with franchise and Dynasty and All Star Weekend and everything. You know, like it seemed like every year there was a big thing going into the game. So it really now that they've got the foundation really solid, that's going to be the next step, because that's what 2K has been doing, and you can see what it's done for 2K's success. So I think it speaks for itself.
Yeah, I definitely agree and second that, you know, that's, they got to really get back to that innovative stage and lead the way like they used to.
And definitely, you know, grab that torch and just keep running with it, because it's really, it's allowed 2K to come out so much in front. So, but you know, our thoughts on that are pretty clear, I think. We are looking forward to Live 19. I pre-ordered. I believe you've pre-ordered now as well.
Yeah. You know, since getting back from Melbourne and that, I had to sort of rebuild up my funds and that. And I waited till I did a shop and got the remaining funds that I needed for the pre-order. So, because I bought the digital download card, or not digital download cards, but the little cards that you buy. With the codes and that on it. So, yeah. Pre-ordered it a couple of nights ago, and yeah, looking forward to it.
So it's going to be a matter of preloading that in a few days' time when that comes through. Looking forward to that. Going to have to clear up the space for that, I suppose. Get rid of the probably uninstall the demo and the prelude, having played through those. You know, a patch has come through for the demo. We don't have any notes about it yet, so as far as I can tell, it's probably just maybe some fixes for live content and some various tweaks here and there. I haven't played a game since it came through, but no patch notes, so we're just guessing on that. The PS4 patch notes basically say minor bug fixes. It's just the generic one, so you know, who knows what actually has gone into it. But you know, last year they updated the demo, as we were talking about last week, so it's good that they are actually doing that, and still people who are just checking out the demo and on the fence, even after the game launches, will be able to get a bit more of a taste of that updated game. So much the better.
Yeah, I wonder too, like, if they'll update the demo as deep as they did into last year, because even like post-release of the game, they did add quite a few more patches to the demo as the year went on. So,
yeah. I mean, and that would be fantastic. Obviously, a very wise idea as they continue to try and win back the crowd. And hey, if they can add things like editing plays in franchise, possibly, you know, post-patch, like they added roster editing last year, you know. That would be really cool as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think they actually have roster sharing this year, which is not good. You know, they really need to add that. And again, it comes down to things that they really do need to add in the years to come to be that fully fleshed out experience and that community aspect of sharing rosters. Again, I may be wrong about that. I don't think anyone's really said anything about it. And the fact that no one said anything makes me think they haven't. But again, overall, game is on the right track. Demo is out there if you want to try it out. EA Access, of course, gets you 10 hours on Xbox One with EA Access. So, yeah, not long before we get our hands on the game, Ben, and we can, I guess, create content for it and talk about it with more authority.
Yeah.
Or the full version with more authority, since you and I have spent a lot of time with the demo, but that is only so much of a taste you can get from that, of course.
That's true. And, some of the developers and that have been handing out codes to a lot of content creators and stuff like that for the full game and that, so... there'll be a lot more impressions out over the next couple of days and that from those, and then we'll have our impressions when we get our copy. When we get to download the version we ordered.
You can go back and listen to last week's podcast, of course, when we talk about our impressions. I also posted a written article. Want to do some more written reviews because I know people have missed some of those. Not everyone is a fan of audio content. Also easy to go back and just reread a review, of course. So you can check that out in the... on the main page there. And we will have more impressions as the full version comes out. So I guess this, by the next time, this time next weekend, we'll actually have the game. So we'll be able to talk about it a little more, and we definitely will, and have some cool content this year. So the other demo that has come out, of course, is the Prelude, which includes the 2KU, which gives us a bit of a preview of 5-on-5, of course, in between hints that get a bit annoying after a while. And of course, the early stages of my career as well. Before we get to that, I think we should talk a little bit about the My NBA 2K19 app, Ben. It is out. It includes the card game again, basically the collecting game with the mini games with all that. You can use it to earn VC, all that usual stuff. And of course, scan the face. Now, you've got to log into the Prelude or the full version of the game to actually be able to then log into your account and get the face scan to work. I did that. I did wait. I tried to scan. Basically, Ben, it messed up on me. The scan failed. The scan failed, and I got sick of it straight away. I'm like, no, I'm not stuffing around with this again this year. So I just gave up on it. I know people have got their scan to work. It's just very temperamental, but I can't help but be a bit disappointed. The app is still pretty buggy and so. Cumbersome bit.
Yeah, I have downloaded the app. I think I did try and... Oh, wait, I hadn't actually logged into my account aspect, I think, from it. So I haven't really gone into... I hadn't actually got to do the face scan part. But I think maybe when I downloaded it and opened it, it was more just the card game aspect. Yeah, it may have actually just been the card game aspect. So I don't know if there was an update for it once it came out or anything for the face scan stuff, because I didn't get to see that option. Or maybe I hadn't logged
in. No, you got to log in to get the face scan option, so you got to have to log in. Okay. You got to log into the Prelude, then you can log in via your PSN account.
Okay, because, yeah, I downloaded before the Prelude came out. So I'll do that, but I'll probably do it on my... I'll have to probably do it on my tablet as opposed to my phone, because if it's going to be similar to what the situation with Live is, it may not work as well on my phone because of the version of Android or just...
Sure.
So, yeah, I'll have to spend some time doing that with both the Live and the 2K one.
I need to redo my Live scan because I did it in less than optimal lighting, as I said. That is my fault. It's not the app. 2K, I knew I was doing it in similar lighting because it was at night. That wasn't going to bother me, but basically I scanned it, you know, the same thing. Lose track of your face, back and forth, finally get all the scans. Gets to step 11 or 13 of processing. An error occurred, please scan again. You try and scan again, the app crashes, you load it up again. Cannot access your camera. And I was like, no, I'm done. I'm done with this, time to do it. So I ended up using a generic face, and I scrolled down to the very bottom. And I swear, that face, the very last, the first face on the very last row looks like Eminem. So yeah. It's ridiculous like Eminem, you know, especially because it has the bleached blonde hair by default. But of course, now he's rocking natural color and the beard, so I added those. So I'm going with my character of Marshall Mathers this year. Yes, I know he's Marshall Mathers, but Mathers is not in the game, and I wanted an audio of the surname. So I've gone with this bootleg M. And of course, it makes sense for a bootleg M that he's Marshall. He's not Marshall Mathers, he's Marshall Mathers. So I did that. He's number 8 for 8 Mile, of course. He's left-handed. He went to high school That's his winter school. I thought about doing like Michigan State or something, but of course, didn't go to college. Hey, not judging. I didn't either. Just putting it out there for basically just did my whole, you know, created this Eminem character. can you remember if there's an audio nickname for Slim? Is Slim one of the audio nicknames in there? Because I always go for A-Train, so I never really look at the rest of them, but...
I think there might be.
If it is, I'm going to keep this character and call it with Slim as the audio nickname. I have to, don't I?
Yep. It makes perfect sense. Well, you can't call him fat, is it? That's not the case, so... You know, if you're doing a Fatboy Slim version, then yes, but...
Yeah. But I hope it's in there still. If it wasn't last year, I hope it's in there this year, Slim, as a nickname for the audio. So you can have, you know, when you can either switch between AI or Slim, or, you know, Fast Freak or DJ or whatever. But yeah, I'm going to have to change it to Slim if it's in there, because it's just going to be so great to have this Eminem character in there. I mean, I may try a face scan. I may just use the generic one, you know, the face morph, and try and make an approximation of mine that's probably going to turn out better than the face scan anyway. But I'm just so tickled by this idea of the fake Eminem, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, when you go through the prelude, it's got the intro and it's got all showing all the characters and, you know, starring such and such this year, and then it comes up with, and your name is AI. So it comes up and it's got this shot of him looking like Eminem, and it says, and Marshall Matthews as AI. I'm like, yes, look, another big name they got, see? A bootleg Eminem, yes. So... the prelude.
Senior Spielbergo, like in The Simpsons.
So yeah. Non-union Mexican equivalents. Listen, yeah. Senior Spielbergo. Yeah. So Bootleg Eminem is in my game at the moment. Well, okay, let's... Before we get to the story, because, you know, we always, you know, rip on the stories a bit. But I do feel a bit more positive about this year's story. But strictly looking at the gameplay, because... did you play the 2KU first while it was installing?
No, I had actually, I kind of fell asleep for a few hours that it was downloading. So, I just jumped, as soon as I woke up, I remembered that I downloaded it. I played the My Career part first.
Oh, right. See, I played 2KU first because I was waiting for it to finish installing. Originally, I wasn't, but then I thought, oh, you know, it's already installed that part, and I did like that idea that it installs that part and then you can play that first while the rest is loading.
Yeah.
Doing it. And that's pretty much what they did with the full version, isn't it? When it launches, you can play the game.
Yeah, there's like a game that you can play, like a 5-on-5 game. It's usually the finalists or cowboy teams.
It's just playing with them. So I was playing 2KU, and you play advanced, and you play the advanced tutorial, and you don't get as many pop-ups, usually. They still would pop up at inopportune times, and you know, obviously 2K is in a strong position, right? So they don't need to add two teams sort of play now in a demo. They don't need to. I think they should, just to keep people hyped and to give us something to play once we've finished with the My Career portion, because 2KU gives you a bit of an idea of the game, but it does suck, basically, to have to keep dealing with those pop-ups when you just want to get a feel of the game and everything. It's not too bad on advanced, but it does get a bit boring, you know, as opposed to being able to at least play with proper teams. Actually, it is proper teams. They're just wearing... it's just in the
practice gear.
In the practice gear, it's the Cavs minus everyone, except for Kevin Love, basically, now. sort of counted on LeBron being there, I guess, versus the Warriors. And, you know, the game is responsive, right? I think it's very responsive on the sticks. I thought shooting mechanics felt a bit better because they've changed it now so that good releases are actually good and not horribly nerfed. Excellent releases, basically. So I was happy about that. But man, the skating is still really bad in the game.
Yeah, I noticed that. Skating was still... And even clipping to a degree as well is still there. Had an instance where inbound pass was... thrown, and it was thrown through basically my sort of rib cage and arm, and I was like, okay, that's not good, considering I know in live, you know, that would have made a bit of an impact and ball would have been deflected. Had a case with Antetokounmpo during the NBA Stars game where he got the ball, but he dribbled it right, like, and not just like 1 or 2 feet, he basically went like 12 feet into the backcourt, and then it cuts to him like getting aggravated like kind of had a teammate, but it was like his own fault that he went the whole 12 yards and into the backcourt and that. So yeah, that was disappointing to see in that part, that the dumb AI aspect was still there.
During the 2KU game, Kevin Love passed it back into Colin Sexton for what should have been a backcourt violation, but apparently backcourt's not called in that mode, in that 2KU scrimmage. Fouls are, out of bounds is, but no backcourt violation. Because like, that's backcourt. And I went back in the instant replay and like, yep, that's definitely backcourt. And I got it on video.
I had an instance where I had a questionable play. I'm trying to remember now if it's, again, in the prelude part or if it's all like in the micro part or if it was in the
2KU. Yeah.
Yeah, where the ball actually did bounce on the sideline. But yeah, it wasn't called.
But I definitely had that, which is interesting because there's issues in the Live 19 demo with backcourt violations, although it is called, you know, AI passing into the backcourt, which shouldn't happen that often. I mean, mental breakdowns, you know, whatever, brain fart, whatever you want to call it, happen, you know, even to pro players, but it's not really happening that much. You know, not where they're that far behind, they turn around and they throw it into the backcourt for no reason. So anyway, the skating, it's just really weird because it's not just a cosmetic thing. And it doesn't look as awkward as, you know, some of the issues in Live over the years with its movement and the stiffness, but there's these really weird moments where the players will just glide along skating, you know, not even running this time. They're just kind of moving along like they're on a moving walkway, basically. And they'll speed up and they'll snap into a certain position. And it's just, I really think this new motion system, it feels good on the sticks, but there's something awkward about it. It just still isn't right, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's you know, possibly going to take another year or so for it to potentially get it to where it needs to be, by the looks of it.
I mean, the good news is, again, shooting mechanics feel a lot better. Having that layup meter is back again is really good. Did you notice that absolute control is now the default for most of the pro stick options?
Ah, I forgot to actually check that. I just, went into automatic playing and that, and forgot to check about that. So.
Yeah, I went in and checked and thought, oh, I better make sure. And a lot of them were already preset to absolute. I think there's one option that's camera relative by default, but most of them are absolute. And I guess it goes back to Beluba on Twitter putting out that poll and people saying an absolute winning that poll, which I was surprised about. But clearly they're making that change because it's people are wanting that.
Yeah, well, that's good because that's definitely a more natural approach. And
I certainly think so. So. I mean, my big thing about camera relative is that if you're on a broadcast view and you've got a player at the top of the screen facing down, to move to your to cross over to your left hand, you have to move right on the stick, which is because it's going right on the screen.
Yeah,
I'm always thinking in terms of the player's hands, probably because that's the way Live's always done it. So that's where I'm used to right stick controls. But to me, it just thinks, well, you know, I always think of it in terms of the player, you know, absolute control. So it feels very awkward to have to make a move to your left hand, move the stick to the right, you know, for camera relative. So, but the option is still there, which is important for people who prefer camera relative. But I was interested to see that change is actually made by default. And I'm in favor of that, and I think it shows that they are listening to the feedback, that the mic is putting out those polls for a reason to make those changes. And, yeah, I mean, that's certainly commendable that the change has been implemented. So that gives me hope that a lot of other feedback is being taken into account as well.
Fingers crossed.
So, I mean, apart from that, I saw player movement is pretty good as far as players moving without the ball. I had a great moment where I'm moving the ball around and I got down to Draymond Green in the post, and then his DeMarcus Cousins man, which would have been either Tristan Thompson, I believe. So Thompson and Love kind of double team me as I backed it out of the post, and then DeMarcus Cousins cut to the basket and I was able to hit him for a sweet pass for a dunk. So, I mean, there's a lot of the player movement with the brains and everything, the whole AI player movement, I think feels a bit better than last year. So I was happy to see that in 2KU. The big thing is, you know, that talking about on Twitter, Mike mentioned that shooting is going to be more difficult in the full version. And I really think the prelude needs to be more of a representation of the final game because it's kind of deceptive. And it kind of sets you up for a very different experience. So I'm a bit iffy about that whole approach.
Yeah, I agree. And something that, you know, you and I talked about just prior to recording, and that you know, my impressions of the Prelude in that aren't positive because I admit, when I was playing, I was more focused on the whole Mercury because I wanted to sort of see if there'd been a lot of improvement in that. But for me, that mode is so scripted in terms of scenarios, but also the teams that you play against, that it's really hard to gauge whether, you know, that's what you're actually going to experience in the full build and how different and that is it going to be in terms of, you know, because it feels like your player is, again, overpowered. Or in the team that you're playing on, in the Bears, and that they, you know, I found the first two games we were able to get a lot of steals, both the CPU and even myself, and that against the first two teams we played, and again, we came to Team USA, there was a bit more of a challenge. But I found with the Team USA game, I tested a theory because it was like, well, tested it more once because I wanted to sort of see if it was just by chance thing that my team got up by about 15 with about 3 minutes left in the second quarter. Then I get subbed out, and then I'm suddenly down 10 points at halftime.
I was down 10 points at half too.
Yeah, so and that happened twice. And again, because it comes back to this cutscene after, you know, where you meet up with the guy that you're hoping to go get drafted with, and he's, you know, kind of refusing to help you and tells you you're not ready.
Yep.
You know, yeah, the translator is basically saying, you know, you're doing pretty well, you're only down by 10. So I thought maybe, you know, they'd have a few different point variations that, like when the commentators and that in the game, but it doesn't look like it, which is, again, a misleading thing. You want the game to be a full representation of what you're actually going to pay for. So for it to be so inconsistent in how it plays and it's even predetermined in a lot of ways, doesn't...
It's the story is driving the gameplay rather than the gameplay driving the story, which has been an issue in previous games. We talked about it before. But
it also makes it hard to gauge whether, you know, if the game has improved enough to make it a purchase in that. And you know, there'll be a lot of people on the fence this year because of the scenarios that happened with 2K18, from, you know, some of the gameplay flaws to the microtransaction element, and to even like how terrible the micro story was, that, you know, how frustrating, especially not being able to cut the skip scenes.
Well, skip the cutscenes. That's what we think they are, the skip scenes.
So,
the cut it out scenes.
Yeah. Make it stop scenes.
Yeah.
The
B button scenes.
The commercial scenes.
Yeah. The extended ads, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, for me, it's made it hard to gauge whether the how far the game has improved because of those things. It just, for me, it has that, I don't want to say misleading, but just there needed to be more in that game for me to determine whether I purchase it immediately or whether I wait months down the track or whether I don't even bother at all. That's my honest opinion. There needs to be more, and it needs to actually reflect what you're actually playing in the actual retail version, and not BS, how you sort of feel overpowered in the first part, and then, like, of the first half of the 40-minute experience. That's the other thing, too. Given the size of how large the game is, like 7.5 gigs for this Prelude...
17.
Well, for this Prelude, it was about 7.
It's 17.5.
Oh, sorry. So that must have been this first part. Sorry.
Yeah, first part 7. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, that's my bad. Because that was when I last looked at it.
Yeah, yeah. It's about 7 gig that it loads, which is the 2KU, which an offset situation. Yeah.
Okay, so that even puts in. You should get more hours, get more gameplay time with it than it takes to actually download. You know.
It took me longer. I mean, we're on Australian speeds, obviously, which we'll admit that they're not the best, but yeah, you'd actually...
And this is where Live's demo is better, because you get a better one-to-one experience of what it's actually going to be like in the actual retail experience, but you also get a replayability factor. Yeah. And again, you don't get that with the Prelude, you know, this year and last year, where it's a one-off play with the Prelude, and then
pretty much
you can't do it. You can't even go back into it because I was going to make, couldn't remember if I'd taken a screenshot of my player and my attributes and, you know, build stuff, and, you know, just wanted to sort of see a little bit more of the, but you can't even go back into it to do that. And I was like, well, that's stupid in my opinion.
It's a very quick look, you know, and yes, obviously with the sales and everything, they feel very confident, but I think it'd be really cool to let people do something with the Prelude and the demo part of it leading up to the release, because you just get more hyped and you're like, I want to keep playing this and keep playing this when there's a new one coming out. Whereas now you're like, okay, I've played that. Irrespective of whether you enjoyed it or not, the experience is basically over now because there's only so many times you can play 2KU. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I haven't really touched the NBA Live 19 demo, because I enjoyed it, but there's only so many times I can... I think I've got a bit more of the Rise to play, I suppose, because I really only play the Rise just to unlock the Play Now modes. But now that I've played a few games of Play Now, it's like, well, you know, okay, I'm ready for the full version. So with 2K19, I have already pre-ordered, so it's a moot point, I suppose, for me. But, yeah, I'm ready for more.
Yeah. The other impression I got from a tweet, or from what I heard in Agent Zero's, Double Zero's video, is Mike Wang had said, you know, he's put in a certain amount of time and being able to create different builds on that, and I thought maybe you could actually test a few builds and sort of see what works for you, but you couldn't. It was again a one-off, one choice only, and I was like, again, that kind of disappointed, because, you know, I wanted to see if I could see what build worked best for me, what I had more enjoyment playing it, and determine whether I'm going to play this or not, or buy this game or not. So, you know, for me, like with Live, you know, I've got two build players at the moment, and I'm looking at potentially a third one, you know, creating a female player and, you know, what her role would be and that sort of thing. So, you know, just to, you know, have a different type of player. And again, but out of my two main characters, it's like one is more of a fun one with the Vince Carter type build, but one with the Pippen one was probably going to be more the one that I choose to go with down the track in that, because, you know, the playing both offense and defense side of things.
Yeah.
So for me, it's not so much in terms of better value, but it just it allows you to find what type of role you're going to play and what type of character build you're going to play, and determine what's going to be best for you, given again how many hours we're going to have to put into this grind factor. And for what is a 40-minute experience, from what I can tell, or from what I can remember from time-wise, you definitely needed more.
It's, and again, a Play Now would have been nice, if nothing else, just to have something to keep playing. As far as the player goes, I do want to touch a bit more on some gameplay stuff in a sec, but the story, I think, is a lot better. I will say that right now, that I think they've learned their lesson. That there was a comment from Ben Bishop, who heads up the My Career mode, as far as I'm aware, or is, you know, certainly, you know, very much involved with it, said that, you know, they got the message loud and clear about B-Fresh, because they specifically mentioned in one of the articles, because there's an article about some article about the neighborhood, and they specifically said that B-Fresh is not in the game. Doesn't show up in
my B-Fresh is be gone.
Is be gone, yeah. So, they and said, we got the message loud and clear about her. So I think they realized that last year's approach was a bit too silly, a bit too meta. So I think they've gone for a bit more of a serious story this year and a different story to what they've done before. So I think the story is fine. I think the acting is fine and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's weird to talk about that kind of stuff when it comes to a basketball video game. But because it is such a part of my career, it's worth mentioning. I think that part of it is all fine. The character you play is not too whiny or anything. It's not NBA 2K15. That could be a little bit better, I suppose. They're still going to be locked into this character in the cutscenes. Of course, you can skip the cutscenes completely. I think the approach is interesting of playing in the Chinese League. I think it's interesting to play in the Chinese League and have the Chinese commentary. Which is real commentary, you know, because I was talking to Leo about it, to Valor, and, you know, he says that there's some bad translations in there, but, you know, it is, you know, legitimate Chinese commentary. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to hear that and just me only speaking English, having absolutely no idea what's being said, basically. So it's, yeah, I'd say a very interesting approach to that. I did enjoy my time with it. It is, as you say, not having that replay value, you can't experiment with a couple of different players, which is, well, admittedly, you can't do that in the live demo either. But I think with all the archetypes that you can choose in 2K, maybe you should be able to. I think it is going to be really good being able to skip the prelude, and not just the cutscenes, but the whole prelude in the with subsequent playthroughs in the full version, yep. Because that way you can create a couple of different players, not have to go too far into it to actually see which kind of archetype that you like. Of course, there's a lot of information about archetypes out there already based on the prelude. NBA 2K Wishlist has put out my Player Builder, which you can see how everything stacks up, and rates on efficiency and everything is a really good tool. I posted that in the forum if people want to check that out. But, yeah, I think progression felt a bit better in the prelude. But, again, you're playing on like this easy mode, as you said, so you don't know how it's going to be when you go back to the G League and then the NBA, how if it's going to slow down or anything. But I did see the badge progression felt a bit better. VC was pretty good for what you got. And we actually got VC in the prelude this year, so we're able to start upgrading the plays, I should say. Although once you get to the end of the prelude, you can't actually go back and upload again. Like after the last game, you get VC, you can't go back and do one final upgrade. You have to wait till the full version.
Mm.
But you can make a bit of progress, which is better than last year for a start. It's more like 2K17, actually, that you can do that. You can also buy VC in the prelude and upgrade your player. I think anyone who does that is silly, because I really think this year we're going to have to test archetypes and builds to see. And then, you know, if you want to spend the money, you know, that's your money to spend. I would wait until the full version to do that. I wouldn't put that money into a demo. Well, I know it transfers over to the full version, but maybe you don't want to stick with that character. So, you know, I mean, whatever. It's people's money, but I think if you're looking for some wise advice, don't do that. Yep. So I actually did enjoy it, you know, which is funny because I was so burnt out on career modes. And I still don't think I'll really want to play it that much, but it was fun enough for me to do. And I could see some improvements as far as the player progression and everything. And the VC, if it's anything like that in the full version, it's going to be a lot fairer. Of course, the difficulty multiplier is back this year. So that's
really important. Oh, it is back?
It is back, okay. Yep.
I forgot to check that. So.
No, it is back, and there's lots of other ways in the neighborhood, which we'll get to in a sec, to earn VC. So it sounds like they've learned their lesson. Some of the way that they're talking about it is kind of like, oh, we kind of... It's acting a bit too innocent about it. Like, they knew what they were doing last year. You know, don't pull...
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're kind of trying to pull the wool over people's eyes there. They knew what they were doing last year. To put it as a misunderstanding or a mix-up or teething problems... No, you knew, you pushed too hard, you got backlash. But, to their credit, they are walking back on it, and that is all we ask. I mean, if backlash has the desired effect, that means they are listening to the feedback, so much the better. That's good. Getting back to gameplay, what do you think of the new steal mechanics, or the Alton steal mechanics? Because there's still a bit of press steal to foul, but I also thought that there were more situations where you were knocking the ball loose and you could see them... You could have that scramble for the ball or knock it loose in ways last year that it just didn't feel like you could really steal the ball properly last year. I thought it was a bit improved.
From memory, I did notice some slight improvement. I still hate the fact that the bubble and the catching is still a little bit too prevalent. Like, I think it's probably still a little bit too high. I know it's probably just bad from what I can remember, but you know that little sort of stutter when you catch the ball.
Oh, yeah,
on a pass,
yeah.
That's still kind of there. Not saying that it shouldn't be in there. Maybe it's probably just still just needs to be toned down just a fraction, just because it still seemed too common. Try another. And again, this is why I wish there was more in it, because because it just went by so quick and it was like couldn't gauge enough to really get enough information and to see a whole lot of improvement, like a lot of ways. Like it still felt a lot sort of like last year's game in a lot of ways, with a few possible tweaks here, but again needing more time to just to be sure if, you know, if that was like a phantom like idea, or you know, if it was a placebo effect kind of stuff. So yeah, just I just needed more time with that. I needed more in that.
Yeah, it would be nice. 2KU helps a little bit. I did think the stealing was a bit better this year. I could see more of it. Less of press steal to foul. It's still kind of in there with blocks. I wouldn't say mixed bag because it was mostly pretty good, and I saw some really good blocks as far as the animations, as far as actually putting a hand on the ball, as far as not clipping through people. The clipping is still there, of course. It's not going to eradicate that completely in live or 2K. I did see an elbow block, which, yeah, that's going to be a big thing, especially with the cheesy builds in Pro-Am, for example, because a lot of them were able to, when you're blocking shots with your butt or your hip, as some players would last year, that was really frustrating. I think turned us a lot of us off the mode last year. So there's less of that. I did see one, but it wasn't... the way it happened is not necessarily physically impossible or improbable. It's just from the angle that Tristan Thompson went up and I went up to block with DeMarcus Cousins, and just the angle and the way we collided happened to be an elbow block, which could happen in real life. It's just it happened too much in previous games. The elbow blocks, the forearm blocks, the butt blocks, I suppose. So it's still there a little bit, but I think it's better. Both steals and blocks. Shooting felt a lot better. I liked that I got a few green releases, of course, but even when the good releases are still fairly generous, more so than last year, where they were basically artificially nerfed, so to speak. So I like the way the shooting mechanics are working. Apart from these movements with the skating and everything, which still looks really awkward, and it just feels such a step back after 2K17, this new motion system just still doesn't feel right. The game itself, I felt pretty good on the sticks. So I did find myself actually having quite a positive experience with the Prelude. I had a funny moment where I had a breakaway with Stephen Curry, and it came up with a came up with a prompt to do a self-alley-oop. And I'm on the break with Curry, and I'm like, all right, let's see. And he tossed it to himself for this little weird, double-clutch layup instead of a dunk. And I, it's Stephen Curry, so I wasn't expecting him to be able to, maybe even do that. And I laughed. It was fun. It was a silly moment that I did myself just because it prompted me to. I thought, oh, why not? And I like having a joyful moment like that with a basketball game. It was fun and a good kind of silly. But, yeah, I did actually come away feeling that it's fairly solid this year. I would have to agree with what a lot of people in the community are saying, is that this feels like the game we should have got last year.
Yeah.
And it's not often we say that with 2K. 2K18 was an odd step backwards for 2K, I thought.
Yep. Yeah.
So this is a course correction for them. I think as far as the gameplay goes, although I have those quibbles, I'm actually feeling pretty positive about it coming out of the Prelude. But as you said, it does leave you wanting more, not necessarily in a good way, but no, I have pre-ordered the game and I'll give it a look. And, some of us are talking about madly giving Pro-Am a go this year because, with this information about the build that's coming out, I mean, and the possibility of not having to grind so much, it might at least be something we can do, if not My League Online or something. So it's, I can see myself spending time with both games this year, as much as I can, going between the two. But, again, what a lot of people have been saying about how it's the game that we should have got last year, not necessarily an unfair thing to say, I think.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think, that last year's game was really a big step backwards in so many ways, and especially when we looked at the pro, experience with the Pro-Am sort of my career thing. Yeah, given the contrast of difference of how many games we played between 2K17 and 2K18 is a testament to that, I think, and given how the drop off rate, like people were over the grind aspect back in December, that was a telling tale back then for last year's game. So hopefully, it does look like a lot of the sort of concerns that I had personally about the game are looking like they may have actually addressed it. But I am still wanting to give it a wait and see approach because, I've had these concerns about a lot of these things for a few years, and 2K17 and 18, I was kind of really hesitant in buying, and
I remember,
and I did bite the bullet on both occasions, and I don't want to to get burnt out again, or, you know, felt like wasted money in terms of that again. So, yeah, not rushing into it and waiting to potentially see, okay, you know, after a couple of patches, you know, if the game is far better. I mean, the main concern I still have is the VC aspect, how intrusive that's going to be in that. So that's for me, like, the final straw element to determine whether I get the game or not is, you know, how much have they nerfed it and how much of a grind is it going to be to earn it in that sort of sense. So and how much everything is going to cost in terms of the to get your player to be, you know, where you want them to be in terms of, like, a comfortable level.
And competitive online, if we're going to do that as well.
As well as the, you know, whole cosmetic elements and how much they cost. So that's, for me, still the number one concern. And then, yeah, the gameplay fixes and that have been needed for the last 5 years, you know, whether they've actually done it, you know, done those fixes, or, like, or at least enough of the fixes to go, okay, it's that's definitely made the, you know, they've definitely put in the work here to try and resolve it and actually try and improve the product and not let the quality drop like it has.
Yeah, and that's definitely understandable. I think a lot of people do share those concerns. You know, being the primary content creator for the site, I pre-ordered. You know, I thought, well, I'll get it anyway. I went the standard edition, so I'm not actually going to get it, you know, the 4 days early. I'm not bothering with that this year. I did not want to get the special edition, pay that extra money for it. So, you know, I'm just... And I am also double-dipping on PC and PS4, so I can do both online and modding if need be. So it sounds like some of that has been addressed. They are saying some of the right things about grinding in VC. And, you know, they put out those stats about how many hours people had played last year, and they were quite, you know, mind-blowing, impressive what they did. But it didn't seem like as much people were putting time into it. It was almost out of necessity of trying to get their money's worth out of the game. Like, I'm not saying that nobody enjoyed 2K18, because I can't speak for everyone in the community, and obviously people did, but it seemed the overall sentiment was that people weren't enjoying it as much as previous years. They were spending a lot of time, and of course, when you've got to run around the neighborhood, you know, that's extra time, isn't it?
Yeah, so, and again, the loading screen factor was time, and then, going to have to go to the gym, or the Gatorade, the team gym, the Gatorade gym.
Which we're going to have to do again this year to get boosts, which I think is all, we'll get to that in a moment with the neighborhood, but... I think that some of those numbers were a bit deceptive last year, because I don't think people really enjoyed the game as much as previous years. There was that grumbling, that sentiment, resentment of the grind that wasn't there in previous years. So, yeah, it's... I hope, again, what it comes down to is I hope this year is better in that respect. Whatever mode I end up going to, if it is indeed... more time in franchise might be more fun for me this year, and hopefully, because I mean, aching to get back to that modes. But since we are looking at maybe doing a bit, you know, at least trying a bit of having a run with the Pro-Am team again this year, hopefully it's a more positive experience.
Yeah, I think it definitely needs to be. I think what they did last year was horrendous with a lot of the choices that they made with the game. So they definitely want to try and get the consumers back in good favor. Especially, again, like, we saw them actually put out that poll to that survey out to a lot of people who dropped off the game and you know, try and find out why they stopped playing. And hopefully, you know, it's that slap in the face that needed to realize and wake up to what they were doing. And that, so, yeah. And the other thing, too, I guess, with those inflatable numbers is because you couldn't. Skip the cutscenes and that, so that would also eat into those hours and all that stuff that, you know, how long people have been playing for. So, yeah.
No, I certainly agree. It's what it comes down to. Hopefully it is good news. You know, keeping our fingers crossed that, that across the board it's all been listened to. I guess we find out, basically, in another week or so. The other thing we have is... the last bit of news, I guess, this week. Is it the last bit of news? Last bit of gaming news, anyway. Is some details on the neighborhood. And some of this information has been confirmed by the prelude. Obviously, my play is starting at 60 overall, but less of a grind. little bit. It's, again, it's hard to tell in the prelude, isn't it? I mean, it's 3-4 games. Yeah. What can you do?
Well, is that, yeah, it's 3 games and one where you get subbed out for a fair bit for this unofficial catch-up.
Yeah. Difficulty multiplier returns, all badge drills will award XP. Now, that's a big thing, because last year, you know, it would be very easy to do drills and get no XP for for doing the drill. So they've done that. I don't like the approach of still having to go to the gym for the boosts all the time, unless they've changed it so it doesn't drain online. You know, if they've done that, that's fine. I don't mind doing it for offline, but for online, it really gets in the way of things.
Yeah.
They said archetypes will be more balanced. Defensive archetypes will have better offensive ratings than last year, and archetypes have generally been reworked to remove some of the disadvantages of choosing certain styles of play. Have a look at some of the different ones in the prelude, I'm not sure I necessarily believe that. Certainly some of the point guard options are still, I think, as disadvantages last year. I don't think they've really done a good job of that. There's still some archetypes that don't have Hall of Fame badges, some builds. So, which, again, if they've got a trophy this year for getting a Hall of Fame level badge and yet some archetypes can't get it, it is good that they actually show you which badges you can get during the creation. I think they've done a really good job with that. But the fact that you can still have a style of play that you can't own a trophy with is silly.
Yep.
Let's see. In the full version of 2K19, we're going to be able to see the maximum rating for each attribute as we're creating players. That came along very late in development, so it's not in the prelude, but it's, again, information that's being shown during player creation, which is just so important, because, again, last year, trying to get that build that worked and finding out that some were broken and some were so overpowered, it was hard to make an informed choice.
Yeah, that's for sure.
The big thing with the neighborhood design this year, it has been redesigned. People are calling it a bit of a carnival, 2K carnival, the way it's kind of set up, like a or like a Disney World kind of thing. But basically, it's been redesigned to be more centralized and is now square-shaped, so you're not having to run through that L, kind of a, I guess, a bit of a fishhook kind of turn there. For less running around, basically. So you can also proceed directly to the practice arena following games, which is nice, but I think there needs to be other loading shortcuts where you can go straight to the playground, straight to your my court, things like that. I think that'd be really good during loading.
Yeah, I think pick your spawn point.
And they are working on more spawn points. Apparently, there'll be different ones, but I think being able to choose where you want to go directly as you're loading into the mode or loading out of a game back to the neighborhood to be able to go straight there, I think would be better. Maybe there is something like that, but it hasn't been said. But it has been redesigned so that there's less running around. Because that got really, really old, really fast last year, did it not? Pro-Am Walk On, say that 3 times fast, has been replaced by the Jordan Rec Center from 2K16, and also Got Next is still in effect in the playground, which is what really turns you and I off the playground. I think a lot of gamers is that there's a lot of standing around, and that's kind of boring.
Yeah. All right. It's not why I'm there to play basketball video games. You want to escape that queue experience, so, yep.
And, look, conceptually, we understand that it's trying to replicate going down to a park and Got Next and everything. But, again, you know, we don't want Lion Simulator 2K18, 2K19. We want to play, you know, some virtual basketball here. So I think that is the problem with Got Next. I think they've kind of changed that with the Rec Center, but, again, people who want to do the playground approach, it's still in effect for them. Here's something that they've, you know, and it ties back into the we went silly with it last year, but again, I think they knew what they were doing. Haircuts can now be previewed first and no longer cost VC at all. You know, moment of silence for that terrible idea. That's the way to go, basically. You know, that was so blatantly, again, to say that was something that they didn't want to do or they was a mistake or something. They knew what they were doing there. Because it was 2,000 VC for a haircut.
Yeah,
Some haircuts, anyway.
Yeah, it was ludicrous. And then it changed the color of it. It's like
and facial hair on top of that.
It was blatant cash grabs. So I'm glad I did it. I mean, I didn't. When they reduced to 100, that was fine. It was more. You know, maybe the first time, and not more than just the 5 options that you're originally given.
Well, that too, that you only had the limited amount of options, whereas this year you've got the hair length and everything. You've got much more better creator options.
Yeah.
Even in the prelude, you have them. But it was just
the inability to preview it and to see if it worked or not. Like, you know, if it suited your look, and instead of having to purchase it, then see if it works, and then if it doesn't, then change it again.
And
you know,
yeah, and people say, "Oh, can you go to a real barber and preview a haircut before you get it?" Like, no, but I also don't spend $3,000 on a haircut at a barber. So if you want, which if you work out the in-game value of the VC to, you know, the VC to in-game dollars by the rookie contract, you end up paying about $3,000 for a haircut, which is ridiculous. So again, if you're going to come at me with the realism, I'm going to say...
Not even Kanye spends that much on a haircut. Yeah. He gets $800 once a day.
Yeah. So
That was the thing.
So, I mean, if you're going to come at me and say, oh, it's not realistic to be able to preview a haircut, I'm like, well, it's also not realistic that I would play in the NBA. It's not realistic to pay $3,000 for a haircut. It's not realistic to live on the same block as the practice arena. You can take some liberties with games. And it's also funny because you've got people saying that the game's getting too realistic as well. And there's just some people that will defend anything, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it could change it that you could have to spend VC to make a jump shot and they'd still defend it. You know, it'd be like the Waterworld arcade game in The Simpsons. You know, game over. Please insert 40 more quarters. Oh, what a riff. Starts doing it. You know.
That's what essentially TK18 felt like.
It's kind of felt a bit that way too, actually, yeah. So, you know, people will defend anything. But anyway, they've made that change. They've listened to the feedback. There's only so much credit you can give them for going back on such a terrible anti-consumer idea in the first place. But they have done it. So, look, you know what? Enough of me bitching about it. They've done it. Oh, hang on. We're not done bitching just yet, people. Because now you can get skateboards and bicycles, Ben, and new ones as you level up, but they have to be purchased from a new shop called Wheels. So that was free last year, was it not?
Bikes? Yeah, you hit the 90 and 92.
Yep, and you could get them.
Or 91 and 92,
you get them free, yeah. So now you got to pay for them. So, you know, what you lose in the swings, you get on the roundabouts. they have done that. You know what? If it's a smaller neighborhood or whatever, you know, I can run around. I really only did the bikes, I think, sometimes when I wanted to go to the playground really quickly. Normally, I didn't bother with them, just got running back and forth between my court or whatever. So I think that's a bit shady that, you know, they've taken that out and put it in. They have also given us a lot of the more basic animations free this year. Did you see in the shop, in the prelude? Did you go into the shop and look at all the animations?
Yeah. Purchased a couple of animations.
This is how paranoid I am about it. I purchased everything I could that was free, basically, to make sure that I'd have it, if I do stick with that player in the full version, so that I'd have it automatically there for my player, hopefully, you know, just in case it turns out, in case they're free in the prelude but not free in the full version. So I thought, I'm just going to grab them all just in case. But it looks like they've done it. Technically, you should have all those. If those basic animations are going to be free, I think it would be much less hassle to just give them to you straight off the bat.
Yeah.
But that being said, a lot more of those basic animations are free that weren't last year. So, I mean, there's been a bit more of a trade-off there. So I think they have put some more ways to get that VC, you know, gouging whatever. But at the same time, they have made some things sensibly free. So it looks like they have taken some of that backlash to heart and made some of that core experience a little bit better. So, you know, as much as I complain about it, as much as I think we've rightfully called them out on it, you know, I will give credit where it's due there. I think they have made some changes there for the better.
Yeah, I'm still, you know, I still think there's some areas where they could, you know, minimize that aspect of...
Oh, sure, yeah.
When it comes to the whole skill stuff and leveling up on that, I think in particular that's where... Yeah, the VC should be more toned where it's more actually earned from actually playing. And something I wanted to sort of address last week in a comment from Ronnie's stream that he did that last week, where he was trying to justify the 2K thing, like in the quote from his stream. If he goes, separating those who grinding versus those who are not was the objective, was the objective we got away last year. We got away from that a little bit immediately, admittedly, especially early on, but we fixed it. Well, no, but yeah, I think, man, I must have just sort of reading that now. I was trying to do a direct quote, writing it down and that, so I kind of screwed up my English then, or didn't missed a few words that he must have said. I think the attributes you definitely got to earn from playing. I think they need to really take out the purchasing element to it, and I think that'll be, I think that'll be a better step forward for the game in terms of it being that balanced, and you know, not a pay to win.
Yeah, and this is what people will come at you and say, well, just don't spend the VC. A good advice. The problem is other people will, and you will have to go up against them. So when you have people who are going to pay for an advantage, pay to win mechanics, whatever you want to call them, they're going to have that advantage, which, okay, they spent their money on, but you either have a you've got to grind and grind and grind to really catch up to them, and to be able to take them on, or you get forced to pay to catch up quickly so you can be competitive, or you have a terrible time playing them because there's no proper matchmaking. So it wouldn't be so bad if there was better matchmaking in the game, if the pay-to-win mechanics weren't as intrusive. But that's the thing. You can absolutely decide not to indulge in that. You can save your money. You can do it legit. You can pat yourself on the back and say, I didn't spend a dime or a cent or a euro or any other kind of currency, real currency.
Dollary-do.
You can, yeah, dollary-do. You can, and it's a lot of dollary-do's. We just looked out again. It's like, what is it, 150 Australian?
151 Australian dollars to get 450,000 VC.
Yeah, so even more than the special edition of the game, basically.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's fine. You can do that way. But the problem is the people that do spend the money are the ones who set the competitive balance. So you're either forced to do it or have a bad time or grind really to the point of not enjoying the game just to try and enjoy the game eventually. So that is the problem. It's not, it's like driving a car. You know, you can be as responsible as you like, but it's, you're going to drive for everybody else on the road because it's the other rat bags that are driving on the road and, you know, running red lights and stop signs and everything. I mean, you drive defensively because of what other people do. It's what the other people are doing to affect your experience on the road. It's what other people are doing to affect your experience in the online gaming, you know?
Yeah. I think, too, like, again, addressing from last year's game, it was like a 400-hour grind.
Yeah, ridiculous.
You know, I put in a season and a half, and I did buy a little bit VC, but I still only didn't even reach a level 92.
Yeah.
I worked, and I worked hard. I played the furthest, and I was still not even a 92, and that was insane.
And the big thing is having to go to the gym as often as you do.
And
again, it's optional, but if you want to play if you want to be as good as you can, you really have to do it to get those boosts.
Yeah.
So you know, it's optional, quotation marks, you know, but it's,
you're screwed if you don't.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, you can play the game without doing it, but you will miss out on an important benefit by not. And if it's online again, where online games drain it as well, it's going to interrupt sessions again, you know. And look, if I could just spend 500 VC to refill the meter during an online session, you know what? I'd do that rather than have to run all the way back to the gym and interrupt the session. Like, when we're in the Pro-Am Arena, if I can just bring up the menu and say, okay, drink this Gatorade, you know, for 500 VC... And, you know, I shouldn't have to, but if it was, you know, the way if you can earn VC fairly rapidly, fine. You know, if I can spend VC in the middle of a session to avoid going back to the gym and simulate doing that just so I don't have to interrupt the session, fine. But if you can't, how many times did it really ruin our sessions last year having to say, okay, guys, our boosts are getting low, let's go back to the gym and stand in front of the box and then, you know, then run back to the arena and everything, you know? It was tedious, it was tiresome.
Yeah, it was like potentially like 10-15 minutes of each time between after like two or three games where we had to really do it, otherwise you'd really notice the difference.
And everything else. So this is the thing, is that even if you're going to do the neighborhood this way, it's these little things about the design that I think you need to clean up, and I think I was a bit dismayed to hear that again. Getting back to the details that we've learned, special My Team store will allow you to create a My Team card based on your My Player. I think that's really cool. I've been wanting to see that for a while. So that's actually, you know, if you play both modes, you can actually get your player as a card in My Team. So, yeah, I like the idea of that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Several more mini games, including Dodgeball, since the Battle Royale mode. Yeah. apparently, you can get a lot of VC for that. Trampoline basketball, kind of like Slam Ball. Daily trivia contest, revolving live events with different themes. We saw that in the trailer of the neighborhood with the turning to night and everything like that.
Yeah. So a take on EA's live events.
Pretty much. We haven't really talked about the trailer. Of course, the trailer did come out and show all this stuff. Transitions from day to night over a 6-hour period in the neighborhood. I think they've tried to address some of the concerns about running around too much and everything, but it sounds like conceptually.
And the aesthetic of the neighborhood being dull and grey and depressing.
Yeah, they've changed that. Maybe there's less trash bags around. a couple of nights after we had Tough Games of Pro, we went and stood by the trash and made various comments that were unflattering at the time.
Yep.
So, this year's story, with, of course, cutscenes are skippable, this we knew, takes place to the Chinese League and G League before making it to the NBA. My Court is basically the same, although you don't have to return to the My Court to change clothes this year, which I think is a really good conceptual change. Basically that was too much of a hassle. You know, you can take, it's a video game, you can take some shortcuts, basically.
Yep.
There's no B-fresh, as they said.
You can also change your jump shot, is that correct? And instead of having to exit out like Nick got next, and then I think you can change your jump shots on the fly.
With the My Player Lab and everything, yeah. So I think it's more like that with the clothes as well.
So more like 2K17, which was...
Yeah, through menus, although it's not quite the same. I guess it's going to be the same pop-up menus as last year. But, you know, little things like that just make it so much quicker than having to load into your court and go into the closet. Look, I know, it's like the Got Next. Conceptually, sounds good on paper, but then when you have to do it every single time, and because...
The repetitive nature of it.
No. I mean, look, I don't change clothes that often. In real life, yes. In my career, no. Not that stinky. In my career, you know, but when you have to put on a different shirt or something to get a sponsorship, for example, you know, just to be able to do that really quickly, it just makes so much more sense to just do it through a menu instead of having to go through all that. It's just tedious. It's just tedious, busy work, basically. The one thing I don't like about My Court customization this year is that it's spread out over the different overall levels. So you've got to get to a certain overall to change the court, certain level to get murals, certain level to change the basketball, things like that. So they've spread it out a bit. So again, that's the thing where it's like, oh, that worked fine last year, so let's change it. Ugh, yeah, exactly. apart from that, basically the same deal. There's a daily prize wheel. It can be spun for a chance at various prizes, including VC, My Points, which is what they're calling XP this year. The daily challenges with big rewards. Once you get to a certain level of overall, I think this might be 95, you get to have 2 spins of the wheel per day. And the new crew mode, which is 3v3 and allows you to team up with 2 friends to take on various challenges. So they've expanded the neighborhood, I guess, much the same way that Alive has tried to expand on the one with the court battles and everything. They're just putting more content in. A lot of it's maybe not be really aimed at us, which I think is the problem, which maybe why we're sounding so cynical and sour about it, maybe. But, you know, I look at that and I think they have made some changes, some good, some bad. Some very necessary and still some changes to make. But, you know, I can see certainly a lot of effort has been put into the neighborhood, and I think they have made some good moves with it. I certainly think there's some credit where it's due.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, some improvements here and there, but, yeah, I think, again, it's going to come down to the loading screen times and how often you have to go to the gym side of things to recharge energy and boost and stuff. So I still think there's... Those questionable things of until we know for certain in the full game. So,
well, that's the thing. We haven't been able to experience the neighborhood yet because we don't get that far in the prelude.
No.
And again, it comes down to us not really being the target audience for this. You know, we may enjoy My Career or have in the past and Pro-Am and everything, but some of these concepts definitely aren't for us. It makes me feel like we're starting to drift out of some of that. We're not out of the core demographic, because we are still sim basketball gamers, but for some of this stuff, at least, we're not in that target demographic. So, and I think we're starting to feel that pinch now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's got a couple of ideas for videos and articles in mind where I'd like to discuss this more, and I'm sure we'll bring it up on the podcast, as we have in the past, but it's maybe things like that. Even with Live, you know, focusing on the one over franchise and things, it's... a feeling that maybe some of these games aren't catering to us as much as they used to, which is you've got to go where, I suppose, where the majority is and the younger demographic that's going to be playing these games for, you know, many more years. I mean, I don't think I'll be quitting gaming anytime soon, but all the same, you know, we're only in our 30s as well, so it's not like we're, you know, in the retirement home. It's not, we're not in the my retirement neighborhood or anything, so
yeah.
So we haven't reached that stage just yet, but it is getting to that stage where some of this stuff is definitely not aimed at us. So certainly for me, I would say take my opinions with a grain of salt as a grumpy old man of 33. You know, that certainly does taint my opinion to this to some extent. But it is that intrusiveness, that having to run around and do tedious things, things that you can't ignore. And, you know, I say that as a grumpy old man of 33, but there's been things in games that that I haven't necessarily liked, even when I was much younger. The Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, having to do the turf wars, the turf battles for, you know, neighborhood supremacy. For the, what is it, in Vice City, was basically having to get all the businesses to generate the money to get to the final mission. Similar thing in Vice City Stories, where you have to do the empire building on the side. I've never really been a fan of those mechanics that are kind of optional, but not optional, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, and even to a lesser extent, the settlement building in Fallout 4 was one of the things that made me a little bit iffy on that game at first, before I really warmed up to it. So I think it's just very much a case of my taste. So definitely, you know, that's my opinion. I'm not saying you're wrong if you feel otherwise or if it really appeals to you. But, you know, I watched the trailer for it in the neighborhood. It's a well put together trailer and everything. But I'm kind of like, yeah, a lot of this stuff is definitely not for me. You know, like, I hope the people who really are into this side of things enjoy it. And I hope that they do things with the, you know, there's less grinding, less VC gouging, and overall a fun experience. But I think there's going to be stuff that I might check out once or twice to see what it's like, and, you know, see if it's a bit fun to mess around with once or twice. But then skip after that, basically.
Yeah. Sorry, I was thinking, like, the whole My Retirement Village thing, you know, scooting around or getting around on the electronic
electric
scooters.
Yeah.
And, you know, slow down, you hooligans kind of stuff, and all, you know, slow down, you deceive demon and stuff like that. And, yeah, that was running through my head, how funny that would be in that sense.
Driving golf carts around and just...
Yeah.
But, so I guess, again, we'll see.
We could mod that kind of thing. And then
of course, that'd be great to mod that in. Yeah, fantastic. There's something for wheels. That's a golf cart. You know what? I'll drop a couple of thousand VC on a golf cart. That'd be hilarious to tool around in that in the game.
You can have, like, a couple of friends and... You go
race them?
Yeah.
You know, okay, I'm starting to warm up to this idea. Remember last year when we were on the bikes just ringing the bells constantly and annoying everyone?
Yeah.
circling the Allen Iverson statue and just ringing the bells constantly? Yeah, if you're on that server, I'm sorry, not sorry. So we will see how that pans out in the full version of the game. It is out for early access, or early tip-off weekend, I should say, on the 7th, along with NBA Live 19. If you are waiting for the standard edition, as I am, it is the 11th, the week after. So I guess we'll be covering Live 19 before we cover much of the full version of 2K19. That'll spread out the podcast nicely over the next couple of weeks, I guess, Ben.
Yep.
But
I'm just thinking, like, again, with that, if we could flip the golf carts as well.
I think really we just need to go and play some GTA, to be honest. It's probably might be for the best. But before we wrap up, just want to cover some NBA news real quick. Manu Ginobili, San Antonio Spurs, of course, long-time Spur, multi-time champion, four-time champion, I believe, has finally called it quits. We thought he was going to do it a couple of years ago. Last off-season, we thought it might be his last year. Came back for one more year, but he has called it a career. And kind of sad to see him go, Ben, because he was still playing at a very high level for being in his early 40s, just playing 20 minutes or so off the bench. But, you know, what a career. Like, probably one of the best career reserves. You know, there were some seasons where he started a bit more often, and it's not like he never came, like he never started, but mostly a bench player for most of his career. Definitely one of the best, all-time best reserves we've seen in league history.
Yeah, he's definitely had that stellar career, and a very rare one at that, in terms of success levels, and finding a spot, whether in the starting lineup or off the bench. So Yeah, sad to see him retire. But it's definitely an end of an era for the Spurs in terms of the legacy that they had with those guys. And I mean, Tony Parker's still playing, but he's playing for Charlotte now. Going so.
The Hornets, yeah. Duncan retired. Yeah, Kawhi Leonard's going out. Of course, in the last run, he's gone to
Toronto.
To Toronto. Of course, they got DeMar DeRozan, who's a fine player as well. You know,
and, yeah. I mean, they got LaMarcus Aldridge.
LaMarcus Aldridge. So it's not like they don't have any talent, but we might start to see that the Spurs finally peter out to a bit of mediocrity for a couple of seasons until they really start to get it together again, which is going to be rare because they've been on top for, you know, almost a quarter of a century now, amazingly.
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, if you take out that blip when they were all injuries hit in the 97 season and they ended up getting the top pick in Duncan the next year, they've basically been a great team since David Robinson finally made his debut in the 89-90 season. So, again, we're looking at almost 30 years of being relevant and a lot of 50-win seasons and five championships. I mean, they are one of the most successful clubs in league history now.
Yeah, for sure. So, it will be an interesting next year to sort of see how long it takes for them to completely rebuild and how they rebuild in terms of the talent they bring in, whether they can hold on to some of the guys that they've got or whether they try trading them to try and rebuild from scratch in a lot of ways. So, yeah, it would be something to watch over the next few years and how they develop it. You know, does Pop stay on much longer as a coach as well?
Now, is it Patty Mills' time to shine? Because he's been getting some starts.
With Parker and Ginobili gone, yeah, it finally might be his chance to become a starter.
Well, he's just turned 30, poor old man. 11th of August, actually. So, you know, belated birthday greetings to Patrick Sammy Mills, Patty Sammy Mills, originally from Canberra, of course, and one of our champion Australians in the NBA. But, yeah, you know, it is that maybe a changing of the guard, and you can, you know, like you say, you hate to use all the cliched sayings, but it is kind of that getting that way. So it remains to be seen how they'll move moving forward. But, you know, again, hats off to Ginobili. He's one of the all-time leaders in the playoffs for players coming off the bench for scoring and things like that. I mean, he's not too far off some of the greats who were starting a lot in the playoffs, obviously played a lot of playoff games, but as far as bench players go, he's got a few records there and everything as well. So it's, you know, a couple of Sixth Man of the Year awards, or at least one. Possibly should have had more through his career, you could argue. I think Jamal Crawford's got more than him, which, you know, Crawford's been a fine reserve as well. But Ginobili, yeah, definitely one of the best. And a class act too. So, I mean,
yeah,
hats off to Manu. It's been a hell of a career and deserves all the credit he's getting as he's rides off into the sunset.
I wonder, like, if he'll have a role still within the Spurs administration. That's
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, I think they've got Duncan on there as some kind of ambassadorial role or something, so play development. So, I mean, if he's willing to do something like that, I think, you know, there's a lot worse people they could have in such a role. So,
yeah,
would not surprise me if Pop will reach out to him about such a role. So that has brought us to the end of episode number 261 of the NLSC podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. The last show before the release of this year's games. We will have much more to say in the coming weeks with those games being out. Of course, the return of our week in basketball gaming. We've kind of, I guess, our weeks in basketball gaming recently have also crossed over with the impressions section of the podcast, Ben. So that's really what we've been doing recently on the virtual hardwood. I'm sure we'll have many stories moving forward, hopefully positive ones for the most part, and interesting stories. Speaking of interesting stories, you can check out the story section of the forum. Lots of good activity there. But as far as the podcast is concerned, you can tune in each and every week to listen to us talk about basketball video games. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes and find us on other podcatching apps, including Podcast Addict and Stitcher. Search for NLSC Podcast. Look for the links that we post in the show and subscribe if you wish. Or you can keep streaming on the NLSC itself. As long as you're tuning in each and every week and enjoying listening to the show, that is the main thing. You can also connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter at the NLSC. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. We're on Instagram, posting there every so often when we've got something interesting to share. That's NLSC Basketball, just to change things up with the branding. We couldn't get the NLSC, unfortunately. And, of course, you can catch us on the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, or indeed thenlsc.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. But, yes, that is all for this week. Thanks again for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And we're out like the games will be this week.